Digital has given every voice a platform. Will yours be heard? If there is one skill that everyone needs today, it's not just the ability to communicate, it's the ability to connect. My mission is to give you the communication skills you'll need to inform and inspire, sometimes using digital tools, but always with human outcomes. Samuele Nube is a digital marketing professional who is passionate about using storytelling and targeted messaging to help businesses form connections with their customers. Her love for stories transcends her day-to-day work, as she is also the co-founder of the community group Find Your Tribe, where she uses her platform to help women of color share their truth. No matter which hat she's wearing, her goal is simple: to use the power of storytelling to form connections. After all, stories are the common thread that connects us all. Let's begin. Sam, thank you so much for joining us and giving me an opportunity to get to know you better and allowing our audience to get to know you too.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm very honored to have to be on your show as a guest, and I'm so excited to see your growth and for you to take on new projects. So yeah, I'm super happy.
Well, thank you. You know, your LinkedIn profile states that you're a full stack marketer. I wonder if you could offer us an explanation as to what that term means.
So basically, that kind of came from full stack developer. That was the term that was there before. And that just describes a developer who does both the back end developing as well as the front end. So it kind of applied to marketing as well, because especially in the digital space. Digital marketing is such a big umbrella, and there's so many different activities that fall under that. So it's your things like your email marketing, your social media, SEO, website, everything in between. So for me, because I started working in the startup space, you kind of wear all the different hats, and that gave me training to be able to complete all of these activities. So by full stack marketer, it just means that I have the breadth of experience in digital marketing that allows me to complete various marketing activities.
That's interesting. And I'm wondering if there was a learning curve, since there were so many aspects that you had to learn. Did it take some time?
Definitely. But it all came with time. It wasn't all at once. The beautiful thing about digital is it's always changing, and there's new softwares to learn every day. So it's just taking the time to learn all the tools, and everything's available online too. So it was just a matter of taking the time to learn, which is the fun part.
Oh, that's so true. You know, I was wondering if you could describe for our audience a typical day for you. I know your days are changing. You've got a new opportunity, but walk us through a typical day for you.
Yeah, definitely. So I just completed a transition. So I started a new job. It's still in the early phases, so I'm learning a lot. My day-to-day has been very different, especially joining at the end of the year. It's the holidays, and it's definitely been a lot more fun. But my day-to-day has just been absorbing a lot, kind of doing an audit of all of the digital platforms, so like the website, social media, emails. But I've pretty much been in sponge mode lately. I'm sure as time goes along, my role and my day might get more calmer, but it's still definitely in the phase of learning and just taking things day by day. And there's new challenges every day too, which is always fun.
Well, congratulations. I know you're going to do very, very well.
Yeah, thank you.
So content creation is something very important to you in your current role, and no doubt your previous roles. I was wondering if you could tell us some of the best practices that you employ when supporting your customers when it comes to, you know, content development.
Definitely. So content creation is definitely one of my passions. I'm personally very process driven, so I like to do things kind of step by step and know my process for various things. So for content creation, the way I usually approach it is just starting off with keyword research. And this applies to any industry, no matter where you are. You need to know what people are typing in to look for your content, or if you have already picked the keywords you want to rank for. then just having those down and then finding out if there's different keywords that you can associate with your content just so that it ranks higher in the search engines. Because a lot of the content that I do is search engine optimized, and we find that's the best way to get organic traffic through that content. So that's the first step, do your keyword research. From there, I usually do a competitor analysis. So just looking into other companies in the space that are doing similar work and just looking at some of the content that they're doing and figuring out ways that we could apply it for our audience and do it better. So that's just kind of more for generating ideas. It's a great way to be able to do that. And then from there, I usually have an idea of kind of the search term people would be looking for in order to access this content. Then I just type it into Google. So for example, if we say how to write a blog for search for SEO, that's probably pretty long, but something along those lines. Mm-hmm. What I do is I look at the top ranking blog for that, analyze how many words are in there, and then if it's say 800 words, I'll probably add another 50 to 100 just because Google does prioritize content that is longer because it sees it as having more value. So in that sense, I'm able to kind of create a piece that has all the pieces that will help it rank higher in Google. So once that is done, I just use another important piece is just the title of your article. So what I found does really well is having numbers in your title. So things like top five ways to do XYZ, X methods to do XYZ. So just having those numbers, it kind of gives readers an expectation for like what they'll receive once they're reading your blog. And if you also break it up that way, it makes it easier for people to go through and follow your ideas. But once all that is done, it doesn't end once your piece is finished. You still have to promote it and do what you can on your side to get it to have traction and for people to actually see it. So it's really important, I think, to have a promotion strategy. So you can use various channels just depending on what works well for your audience. So things like email, social media, as well as backlinking, which is very important. Just to tell Google that, okay, this is a valuable piece of content. Other people are linking to this. So it's another piece that will help your blog perform better.
Interesting.
It's definitely well worth making the investment because at the end of the day, when people have questions, the first thing they do these days is ask Google, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You want Google to prioritize your information to get more eyeballs on it.
You know, that's very interesting. And I kind of have two follow-up questions based on that. So my first is voice search. Is there anything extra that you would need to do in order to support voice search? I know, you know, searching, using your voice through a search engine like Google is becoming much more popular, certainly in the future. Are there any extra considerations that are to be made when it comes to that?
With voice search, that's something that I have not delved into quite deeply. But I do know it's always valuable to have various forms of media on your blog. So not just having the text, have your images, have like videos and embed sound if you can. Mm-hmm. I think the important piece that I would think would help with voice search is just making sure your alt tags are all correct. So ensuring that all of your images have a description, which is really important, especially for accessibility purposes. Some people may not be able to use your site like everybody else would. So just enabling, just putting in those features to make it easy for everyone to be able to go through your blog.
You know, that was quite an intricate process that you described earlier. And it got me wondering, you know, how long does it take someone to really master that? You know, listening to you, you sound like you've been in the game forever. But, you know, I'd be curious to know, you know, what does it really take?
Yeah, so it's actually really funny because I ended up in marketing quite by accident. When I was in my third year of university, I did a year abroad in France. And at the time, my classes were filled with lots of other exchange students. So many of them were from the European countries, so like the UK, Germany, and such. And their learning style is completely different from how we learn here. It's a lot more practical, hands-on. And what I found is many of them had already done internships with big companies like the L'Oreals and the Coca-Colas. So just looking around, I was kind of in a state of panic because at that point I had just worked in retail. So when I came back, I was just very driven to take every opportunity to build on my resume, build on my skills, you know. So in my fourth year, I did a lot of networking and just like volunteering for various things. And I remember the class that really introduced me to the digital world was this class I took. It was called Marketing New Tools. So my professor, she was amazing, and she would have real professionals who were working in the field day to day come and teach us for each session. And I remember one of the sessions, there was a guy who came, his name was Greg. And he taught us about, I think it was building your social media calendar. And then after the class, he was like, yeah, I'm looking for help. If anyone's interested, then please reach out. So I did. And we met up for coffee. And then from there, he gave me a couple of blogs to write for him and his website. And then the relationship just kind of grew. And then whenever he got lots of clients, he would ask me to help out. So that was a really, really good learning opportunity for me because I got to dive into the blog writing, the social media, the email writing as well. And this was all while I was in school. So when I actually started working, I got exposed to a larger pool of all these activities, and just taking the initiative to learn as well, I found has really helped. So it was really by accident, because I remember when I was graduating, I didn't know where to start. And then when I looked back on all of my experience, I was like, okay, it looks like it would make sense for me to go into digital marketing. So that's pretty much how it started. But I've been enjoying it the whole way, and just the breadth of tools that are out there. It's insane, and the learning just never ends. So it's always a challenge every day, for sure.
Have you always been a creative person? Is that something that you thought of prior to university? Did you see yourself getting into some kind of creative role?
Definitely. So how I started is I really enjoyed art, so I really enjoyed drawing and everything. But then I think once it got very sophisticated, especially in high school, my teachers were kind of like, I don't think this is a subject you should continue with. So I was kind of dropped from art, but I still had that creative energy, and I just tried to find other outlets for it. So I really fell in love with literature and writing. So I did a couple of the national competitions back home in Zimbabwe, and those were always a lot of fun. So throughout my life, I've always enjoyed writing. I think that's why right now content creation is one of my favorites, because it allows me to kind of still have that creative outlet.
Well, that's pretty interesting. And I think the dots do connect, so it makes sense. You know, I want to shift gears for just a moment, though. You know, you're a digital marketing professional and you do that by day, but you're also involved in something else, something really special, I think. And so I was hoping that you could talk to us about it. It's Find Your Tribe. And I was hoping that you can tell our audience all about Find Your Tribe, how you started it, what it is, and what your role is.
So with Find Your Tribe, again, it's something that happened by accident. So I'll just give the backstory as how it formed. So I started it with my co-founder, Naomi. She's amazing. And how it started is Shopify, they're a Black employee resource group. They held an event, and this was a few months ago. So we went, and it was just such a beautiful atmosphere, just because it was all like young Black professionals in the room. And it just gave it a whole different energy. So people were able to talk freely and just share their experiences, both good and bad. And it was just good to hear other people's perspectives as well. So from there, I made a post on LinkedIn about it. And then Naomi, we actually did a meet at the event. She sent me a message and she was like, hey, I'd love to meet up for coffee. And we did. And we chatted for hours and we connected on so many different things. And I think the most powerful thing was our experiences as women of color, especially in the workplace. So from there, at the time, it was Spotify. They were running a boot camp for female podcasters of color, because when they did a study, it was found that 22% of podcasters are women, and an even smaller percentage of those are women of color. So they were running this boot camp to try and empower women of color and give them the tools to be able to succeed as podcasters. So Naomi is really big into podcasting, and she has a fantastic podcast, which is The Power of Why. So she really wanted to apply for it, and it's something that I wanted to get started on too. So we wanted to apply, but then we found out that it was only open to residents of the United States. I mean, which makes sense, like you have to start somewhere, but we wanted to create a video, like some kind of social campaign, just to be able to show not just Spotify, but other platforms like Apple Music and SoundCloud that female podcasters of color who are talented are not just in the US, they're all over the world. So we just wanted to influence them to be able to create programs that are not tied to one geographical location. So from there, we asked all of our friends across the world to send in videos talking about why representation mattered to them. And then we did a photo shoot as well. So we were going to combine everything and create a video. But we found at the photo shoot, the atmosphere was just so beautiful. It was all of our friends and friends' friends who were all women of color. And it was interesting to see, like, even when they greeted each other, even if they met on that day for the first time, their natural instinct was to give a hug and not just do a handshake. So from the conversations from that day, Naomi and I sat down after and we're like, we can't just leave this here. We have to do something with this energy. So that's kind of how Find Your Tribe was born. We are basically a platform that celebrates women of color. Right now it's in the Ottawa area, but we hope to grow like geographically to celebrate them and enable them to share their stories from their perspectives. Because a big thing that we find is, especially in mainstream media, women of color are painted in a certain light that is not true and like not representative of them and their experiences. It's usually like stereotypes, like if you're Black, it would be the angry Black woman on TV. If you're Latina, you're feisty. So we just wanted to give the power back to women of color to be able to reclaim their own narrative and tell the story from their perspective. Because even under the umbrella of women of color, there's so many different intersections and experiences that don't really get love or attention. For example, myself as a Zimbabwean Black woman, having grown up in Zimbabwe and Botswana and then moved to Canada, my experience is very different from Naomi, for example, who is Ethiopian, but she has grown up in Canada. So we just wanted to highlight those different nuances. And the platform right now, it's been mostly in-person events and more on social media. But as we grow, we hope to be able to grow to a point where our stories, because we want to create a show as well, which will be coming next year. But we want to get to a point where these stories influence decision makers, let's say on like C-level executive suite, those kind of people in different organizations, that whenever they're making decisions, if they look around and they all see like it's all like white men or a certain group that's not representative of everyone, we just want to influence one person to be like, hey, maybe we need different voices here. Let's reconvene once we have more like diversity and inclusion, you know. So that's pretty much who we are, what we do. And we're just growing every day. We meet different people along the way who kind of open new doors for us. So it's a really exciting time.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. It's such an important initiative. Let me ask you something. Do you have any success stories, small or large, as to how this has actually impacted someone's life? I'd be curious to hear.
Yeah, so like I said, a lot of our initiatives have been events. So recently we had our inaugural like Christmas party. So the style was, we had a bit of networking so the women could all meet each other. And then we had a panelist. It was RJ Collins. She's an income strategist. And she just spoke about her experiences and just shared her story, really. And afterwards, we got to speak with people who came, and I'd say maybe a quarter of the women we spoke to, they were like, thank you so much for doing this. This is something we really need in Ottawa. So It's just nice to know that even in the early stages, the work that we're doing is worthwhile. And it really does give us like the energy to keep going and to work even harder. So yeah, it's just knowing that people have a safe space where they can bring their experiences and share them and ask for help in a safe environment.
That's really, really wonderful. You know, it's getting me to think about the broader issue at hand. You know, I know this is focused particularly on women of color in Ottawa, but, you know, when I think about what's happening, say, in the United States with women-owned businesses, you know, women-owned businesses are coming to the fore faster than male-owned businesses. And in fact, women of color are taking the lead in that. But as far as being seeded with money, you know, it's another story. There's a huge gap. And so I was wondering if that was something similar that you've seen, say, in Ottawa or in Canada at large.
Definitely, because I think I even read an article that talks about what you just mentioned. And I think it's something that's kind of like widespread, especially like more in the developed countries, North America. I think another thing was also just the glass ceiling. If you look at a lot of the big corporations and you look at their leadership, it's usually like white men or maybe one or two white women, but it's very rare that you'll see a woman of color on those panels. So I think that's definitely an issue, which is something that we hope to be able to influence in the future. I guess at this point, we all just need to be able to engage in the conversation and find ways to move forward, for sure. Because it's not something we can do alone as well. We need everybody's support in this.
You know, I really agree with you. In fact, you know, we need each other if we're going to really be successful at this. And so I think this is absolutely wonderful. It's getting me to think about how you've used social media for Find Your Tribe. For instance, you know, I follow Find Your Tribe on Instagram and it's great. You know, I love following, you know, the profile and seeing the updates, the different events taking place. How have you used social media as a strategy in growing your ranks?
So social media right now is our main outlet. It's been doing extremely well for us. Even at the event that we had this weekend, there were some people we met for the first time. And we even asked them, how did you find out about this? And they're all like, oh, we've been following you on social media. So it's definitely a great outlet in helping us spread the message, build our audience, and just getting the word out there. Well, for myself and Naomi, we both work full-time jobs, so we haven't been able to give it all the love that it deserves. But social media is such a key tool in connecting people, especially for causes that they support, because we know with the posts that we make, we have a certain recipe that we've built. It attracts like the audience that we're trying to reach. So it's just helped us grow like our network and our following and to be able to connect with more women of color.
So Sam, with that then, I wonder if you could provide advice, say for women of color who are starting their own business, what advice would you give them from a marketing perspective? You know, most probably have to play a variety of roles, including chief digital marketing officer. What tips or best practices could you provide?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first step is knowing your audience and knowing where they are. So for us, we know that a lot of the people that we're trying to reach are more on Instagram than on other forms of social media, which is why we've given so much attention to it. Because there's always the risk of trying to be everywhere. But then if you're doing it alone, especially, and have a full-time job on the side, you only have so much time. So it's better to focus those resources in channels that will provide you with results. So I think that would be the first step, just in understanding where their audience is. Another thing would be to be able to create some sort of strategy around your content and creating like a calendar for when you want to post based on your schedule and what you can actually do. Because I think consistency is definitely key when it comes to social media, especially if you want to maintain and build momentum. Like Instagram, for example, is one site where you see the immediate return of posting, because every time you post, you get more likes and usually more followers as well. So just building something that's realistic for you, even if you can sit down for 30 minutes on a Sunday, bang out a couple of posts for the week, even if it's like one or two that you can physically do, I think that would be a great starting point. And also an important thing, I think, is a website as well. It's just like your digital, you know, your digital business card where people can always refer back. And there's so many tools out there that are available to help you build them quickly and easily without much like digital experience. Things like Wix, Squarespace is also really good. So just leveraging all those tools that are available. And depending on your budget as well, I've been reading the 4-Hour Work Week. And it was a recommendation from Dr. Natalia. She said that was her absolutely favorite book. And Tim Ferriss is a big advocate for outsourcing. So if you can't physically do something yourself, or you know it's not your forte, outsource it to someone who can do it for you. That way you can focus your energy and attention on building the business itself. And then all those day-to-day activities will already be taken care of. So I think those would be my main pieces of advice if someone is in that kind of situation.
Let me follow up with another question then. You know, how do you really connect using social? I don't mean likes. Likes are okay. I don't mean comments. Comments are good. But that next level, that level where you're directly messaging one another or meeting one another online and having a conversation, what do you need to do to get to that point?
So for that step, I would definitely say the key is to take those online conversations offline, because as much as we may, as much as the world today is very digital and you can still connect with people online, nothing beats that face-to-face conversation, being able to look someone in the eye as you're talking, to feel their energy, read their body language. There's just so much value in having that face-to-face conversation. And I think that's what will take relationships to the next level. So especially with tools like LinkedIn now, they make it so easy to reach certain people now. You can just message like, hey, I think you're doing a fantastic job doing this. I'd love to learn more. Would you be available to meet for coffee? Just taking those small steps, I think, are really valuable in just helping you connect with people more. Because I know a lot of people say be authentic and all of that, but at the end of the day, with social media, you're seeing what the person wants you to see. So that's not usually like the entire side. And it's very difficult for people to be 100% authentic online. So I think for me, it's just taking the time and the initiative to meet with people you connect with online in person.
Well, you know, speaking of LinkedIn, you've had a good amount of success on LinkedIn yourself. What's been your experience so far?
Yeah, so it's pretty funny because I was really passionate about it at the beginning of the year, and I was trying to post a lot because I found at the beginning it was kind of very scary to get started because in my head, you know, it's the self-talk, the, oh, who do I think I am? Like, mm-hmm. what do I have to mm-hmm. say? But I found once I started posting, those voices just kind of quieten down. And it gets easier and easier with time. And it was just great because of my activity on LinkedIn, I got to go to the Masters of LinkedIn in LA, and that's how we met. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how everything comes back. But unfortunately, as the year went on, life happened and I didn't have time. So I feel like I'm kind of back at the starting point. But from my experiences in the earlier months, there's definitely value in posting consistently and regularly, because I think that's the key, especially with LinkedIn, is just being consistent. Even if it's like small things like liking, commenting on posts, it's still a contribution that you're giving to the platform. And definitely going into the new year, that's one of my goals, to get back onto LinkedIn and be more active. But I've seen you've been doing a great job, so I'm really happy for you.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. And to our listeners, it's not as if Sam hasn't been on social media. Find Your Tribe is very active, and I really recommend you follow Find Your Tribe on Instagram. But I want to talk about the future now. You know, marketing has changed dramatically over the past several years, and no doubt will continue to. What do you predict the future to be? What trends do you see on the horizon?
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy with the rise of like artificial intelligence and automation and all of that kind of stuff. I think things are going more towards marketing to, you know, like the algorithms and the Googles and things like Alexa, as opposed to people themselves. Because even now, if you look at the way things are going with like your smart homes, with your, you know, I think there's some fridges where it's connected to your phone or some app and things like that. So eventually in the future, we'll probably get to a point where if something runs out in your fridge, it'll tell you this is out, I'll order it for you. So it's the technology making the decision as opposed to the human being. And I've heard quite a lot of conversation around this. So as marketers, I think that's something definitely to keep in mind and on the horizon, that we might be marketing more to the algorithms as opposed to people. And that's kind of how things are now. You know, you have to, especially if you're posting on social media, you have to understand how the algorithm works in addition to the human beings, right? In order to have the maximum exposure. So I think marketing as a whole might go in that direction soon.
So we've come to the part of the show that is called What If, and it's a hypothetical section. I ask you a question based on the answers that you have already provided for me throughout our discussion, and it's really to see what you would do. And so here's my hypothetical for you. So you get a phone call. It's from Jeff Bezos from Amazon. He says, hey, I like your work. I follow Find Your Tribe on Instagram, and it is my goal to create a more inclusive environment at Amazon. And so I would like you to become our chief digital marketing officer. So you say yes, you get on the plane and you're flying to Seattle, I guess, and you begin opening your notebook and jotting down ideas. What are some of those ideas? What will you bring on day one to your new job?
Oh, that would be amazing. That's like our goal. Yeah, that's definitely a big one. I think I probably start with speaking to the like the minorities who are there already, just getting a better understanding of their experience, some of the gaps they believe exist. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to these issues, they know best. They live it every day, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that would definitely be my starting points. Look at the hiring practices, see where some of the gaps are that maybe minorities may fall through, or maybe there's like some sort of cap where they reach and they can't get further. Yeah, those would be my ideas off the bat. And I think that would be a good step in the right direction for sure.
So let's focus on you now. Where do you see yourself, say, 5 years from now? What would you like to be doing?
Oh, that's a tough one. Just because I used to be, well, I still kind of am. I like to plan things. And there was a time when I would plan everything right down to the month. I'm doing this and this and that. But with this year, I've learned to kind of let life happen. You know, just leave some room for life, because that's where all the beauty is. So in 5 years, I have no idea. But what I would love is to be a yoga instructor doing retreats to Costa Rica. I think that would be amazing. Or at least part-time. That would be fun. But yeah, no, we'll see. We'll see what happens as the time goes. But I can tell you where I'd want to be 40 years from now. Well, not 40, 20 years from now, though.
Oh, okay. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, so my dream is to be like the president of Zimbabwe, and I'll be eligible when I'm 40. So 20 years from now, well, slightly less than that, I'll be able to do that. So,
wow, that's right. I do remember reading that on your profile. That's amazing. Now, 20 years from now, it's kind of tough to pinpoint exactly what you would do, because we don't know what's happening in 20 years, but if you were the president tomorrow, what are some initiatives that you would enact?
I think the top three things I would focus on would be our financial policies. Those needs, yeah, a lot of help. Healthcare, education, and like a bonus one, I would say technology, because we have so many bright and talented young people, both in Zimbabwe and in the diaspora. If we can leverage their knowledge just to build the country, I think we would be somewhere else completely. So, yeah, that's what I'd do if I were president tomorrow.
Well, you heard it here first. We'll have to see what happens. We'll have to have you back if that happens, although hopefully you'll be back much sooner than that. But really wish all the best for you.
Definitely. Yeah, I've had a fantastic time. Thank you so much for having me tonight, Craig.
So that's our show for today. Thank you so much again for joining us. Hey, I would love to hear from you. If you could, please drop me a line at craig.thomason@gmail.com. And of course, if you really enjoy the podcast shows, feel free to like, comment, and or subscribe. Take care.